Good afternoon, brethren. Good afternoon. Ah, it's there again. You get to hear me now. Well, is everybody getting excited about the Feast of Tabernacles? I can always tell. It's always a good time of year. In fact, some of us have already left, go all different directions, brethren. But what a blessing it is, brethren, to be able to live God's way of life right now in this world, isn't it? It is a tremendous blessing. It's not a burden to obey God and save our tithe and then go to a beautiful setting to observe at 8 days of His feast. The feast is definitely forward to as it pictures the coming of the world tomorrow. But we cannot forget, overlook why we're here today, to keep this solemn holy day, the Day of Atonement. Today is a very, very important day in the plan of God. We know that we have to afflict ourselves today by fasting a 24-hour period. Time, brethren, is important to us and to God. That is why He has worked out His holy day plan for us to observe and keep forever, forever. And this is why Satan tries so hard to attack God's people around the holy days. Satan knows that God is working out a plan of salvation with a small harvest that will rule under Jesus Christ as rulers of this world. And Satan knows what this Day of Atonement means for him. He knows why we're keeping it and what's going to happen to him in the future on this day. So let's take a look at that master plan in our Bible and begin our journey to understand how very important this day is in the holy day plan of God. We can begin turning to Leviticus 23. This is the first place that the holy days are written out and explained in order as they were given to the children of Israel from Moses, who got them from God. Let's turn and read Leviticus 23, verse 1 and 2. We won't read all of them, just a few select verses. And the Lord spoke to Moses, saying, "Speak to the children of Israel and say to them, the feast of the Lord's, which you shall proclaim to be holy convocations. These are my feast." Please notice in verse 2 that it says, these feasts are to be holy convocations. Our special occasions. We know that holy means sacred or set apart. And this word convocation means a meaning of religious character. So the Sabbath day and the holy days are to be sacred meanings at set times throughout the year. And yet they are all not all the same type of holy days. They each have their own meaning and times, and different ways that we are to keep them. Let's go on now to verse 3, where it's talking about the Sabbath day, the seventh day of the week that we partake of each week forever. Verse 3, 6 days shall work be done, but the seventh day, the Sabbath of solemn rest, a holy convocation. You should do no work on it. It is the Sabbath of the Lord in all your dwellings. Let's take a moment to notice something special about this verse, brethren. You see in other places, such as the book of Exodus, the Sabbath day is written about and explained many times to the children of Israel. However, it is not written as a Sabbath of solemn rest. It is here in this chapter and verse. Let's keep that phrase in mind as we go on now in Leviticus 23. Won't read about now, but let's talk about where they are in this chapter. In verse 4 through 8, it is written how to keep the Passover and the days on unleavened bread. But let us do notice, though the first and the last day of unleavened bread are to be, quote, a holy convocation, and you shall do no customary work on it. This tells us we are not to go to our jobs or do any housework or mow grass. However, it was permitted for the ancient Israelites to prepare meat for their sacrifices on this day and feed their animals on this day. Verse 9 through 22 is talking about the Feast of the First Fruits, sometimes called the Feast of Weeks, which we call Pentecost. It is explained in these verses how they determine when to celebrate the holy day associated with this festival. Let's move on now. Verse 23 through 25 explains the Feast of Trumpets, which we just celebrated last Monday. Let's again notice at the end of verse 24 is called a holy convocation. Verse 26 through 32 are written about the Day of Atonement. Let's begin it now in verse 26. And the Lord spoke to Moses, saying, "Also the tenth day of this seventh month shall be the Day of Atonement. It shall be a holy convocation for you. You shall afflict your souls and offer an offering made by far to the Lord." These verses set the time and the place that they were to observe the Day of Atonement and have an additional part about afflicting our souls. Brother, why do we have to afflict our souls? Why do we have to afflict our souls? It is so that we can feel and know that this is a different kind of a holy day. We are to appear before the Lord with our offering and keep this holy day while going without food and water. But right now, brethren, we are to be focused on this day and become even closer to God. Verse 28, "And you shall do no work on that same day, for it is a day of atonement, to make atonement for you before the Lord your God. For any person who is not afflicting in soul on this same day shall be cut off from his people." That's interesting, isn't it, brethren? This is the only holy day written about here that says if someone is not afflicting their soul today and knows better, then they will be cut off from the others. What does that mean, cut off, brethren? What does that mean, cut off? According to chapter 16 of Leviticus, we can begin turning there. This whole chapter is about the Day of Atonement. It begins with verse 1 through 28. Talks about the duties of the priest on this day. If you really sit down and read and study these verses, it appears that the priest had some to perform on this day. I wouldn't say it was work, but they had to put on certain garments and do a duty, then take a bath and put on other garments before they could come back among the people. That's interesting. Even the priest that had to take the escape goat off into the wilderness had to come back and bathe and change clothes. Let's read Leviticus 16, verse 29 through 34, to see what the people were supposed to do and not do on this day. This is from the Easy Read Version. Leviticus 16, verse 29. "This law will always continue for you. On the tenth day of the seventh month, you must not eat food. You must not do any work. None of the travelers or the foreigners living in your land can do any work either." Verse 30, "Because on this day, the priest will do this to make you pure and wash away your sins. Then you will be clean to the Lord. You must humble yourselves because this day is a very important day of rest for you. This law will continue forever." Well, this verse explains it better than any of the others. It is a day that we are to rest, not eat or drink, and humble ourselves. And this law is in effect forever, brethren. Forever. Verse 32. "In the future, this ceremony will be done by the priest who will be anointed and appointed to serve after his father. That priest will put on the holy linen clothes and make the most holy place, the meeting tent, the altar pure. He will also make the priest and all the people pure. That law will continue forever. Once every year, you will purify the Israelites from all their sins. So they did everything that the Lord had commanded Moses. This commentary basically agrees that on this day, God wanted the children of Israel to afflict themselves so they could identify with the sacrifice for sin. By afflicting their physical bodies, they could identify and sympathize with the goat that was to be sacrificed, as we should be able to identify and sympathize with our sacrifice, Jesus Christ. Verse 30, and any person who does any work on that same day, that person I will destroy from among his people. You shall do no manner of work. It shall be a statue forever throughout your generations and all your dwellings. This holy day comes with a very strong warning, brethren, and more severe direction. Why is that, brethren? Why is today more serious and not kept like any of the other holy days? Verse 32. It shall be to you a Sabbath of solemn rest, and you shall afflict your souls on the ninth day of the month at evening, from evening to evening. You shall celebrate your Sabbath. One Bible commentary, Bible Hub, says something interesting about the Day of Atonement. Quote, it is one physical fast day that is to be observed as a day of holy convocation, a day in which to afflict your souls and to offer an offering made by far unto the Lord, and in which no manner of work was to be done, inasmuch as, like the weekly Sabbath, it was a Sabbath of rest from the ninth day of the month at eve, from eve until eve. Brethren, it should be said that some people had to work on this same day. The person that had to do the actual animal sacrifices and start the fire on the altar. So that kind of work was usually done by the priest, who prepared as much as they could in advance. And today we have people that have to take care of others that are sick and small children who can't fast. Now when we read and talk about the Day of Atonement and all the instructions that go with it, let's talk now about four specific points that set this day apart from all the other holy days. That is what I like to focus on now. It is an important holy day to God, and it should also be very important to us, brethren. Very important. Four things that make atonement a very special holy day. Number one, we have to afflict our souls. We have to afflict our souls. We know that we have to do this, brethren, today because we really feel it. But we can look around this room and we know that we're not alone in the affliction, because there are many of us here right now in this room fasting and feeling much of the same pain. This day isn't about us, brethren. This day is not about us. There are others all over this world keeping this day. Did we pray and ask God to help all our brothers and sisters today with their fasting also? Today of all days, we should pray for others physically and spiritually about their well-being, and ask God to help us be more merciful and kind and forgiving to others. We also have Jesus Christ, our elder brother, who came to earth as one of us. And he cares for and loves us very much, brethren. I mean, he loves us. He felt hunger, pain, emotional pain, just as we do. That is what makes him such a great high priest, to talk to God about us and what we go through. Let's turn to 1 John 2. 1 John 2, verse 1 and 2. 1 John 2, verse 1 and 2, from the New Revised Standard Version. My little children, I am writing these things to you so that you may not sin. But if anyone does sin, we have an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ the righteous. And he is the anointing sacrifice for our sins, and not for ours only, but also for the sins of the whole world. Brother, I have to tell something on my wife. On the night before each atonement, after my wife cleans up the dinner and the dishes, she puts every empty cup away and turns it up. And it's interesting. She takes one big cup, puts it over the filtered water spigot in our kitchen, just in case any of us are about to forget and get a drink of water. That cup's there with a note on it. Not tonight. It's interesting. Every year she does that. Well, brethren, today, this holy day pictures the beginning of the millennium, when Satan will be bound, and he and his evil demons will no longer be able to influence or lie to mankind anymore. We will still have human nature to deal with, won't we? There will be physical human beings that will have to be helped and retrained. Some of them will have gone through horrible trials, and many will have witnessed some horrible things. And they will be shell-shocked by everything they have seen and experienced. Brethren, we will be able to have compassion on them and help them because we have lived in this world. We will have experienced trials and physical and mental pains so that we can help people in the world tomorrow. Our older brother, Jesus Christ, came to this earth as a physical human being so he could feel and see what we go through. He was the ultimate sacrifice. He was free from sin. And yet, he took on all our sins and gave us an opportunity to be forgiven of sin and reconciled back to God, our Creator. This is another reason why we're here today, brethren, afflicting ourselves and not eating or drinking until sundown tonight, so we can draw closer, I mean closer, to God, and that we can feel what it's like to be hungry and hurting. Only we are also to be hungry for God's way of life, and we are to be hurting and yearning for the world tomorrow to be here very soon, to relieve the whole world's pain and suffering. I don't know about you, brother, but every time I turn on the news or read an email announcement of someone being hurt by a physical trial or at the hands of another human being, I physically hurt and yearn for God's kingdom to be here very soon. I hope you do too. Brethren, if anyone has a problem on this day or is it feeling weak, please go to God and ask Him for strength. He promises to help us, and He will give us the spiritual strength to overcome all things. Brethren, that's found in Joel 2, verse 12 through 13. Well, let's turn to James. James 4, 7 through 10. James 4, 7 through 10. Therefore, submit to God, resist the devil, and he will flee from you. Draw closer to God, and he will draw closer to you. Cleanse your hands, you sinners, and purify your hearts, you double-minded. Lament and mourn and weep. Let your laughter be turned to mourning and your joy to gloom. Humble yourself in the sight of the Lord, and He will lift you up. Our second point, number two, it is a very special holy day because it is called a Sabbath of solemn rest. Because it is called a Sabbath of solemn rest. We know that Sabbath means a rest, ceasing from work. And God rested on the seventh day after completing the creation on this earth. He made a decree, brethren, and later commandment, that all mankind should rest on the Sabbath. That's the fourth commandment in Exodus 20, verse 8 through 11. And yet, this is one of the least obeyed commandments in this professing Christian world today, isn't it? And it is because they all have their minds altered and blinded by Satan the devil. Let's turn to 2 Corinthians 4, verse 4. 2 Corinthians 4, verse 4. I'd like to read this from the Living Bible. 2 Corinthians 4, verse 4. Satan, who is the god of this evil world, has made him blind, unable to see the glorious light of the gospel that is shining upon him, or to understand the amazing message we preach about the glory of Christ, who is God. Brethren, that's why it's so important that we understand and keep the holy days as he instructed and commanded them to be kept. In order to do that, we must know what sets this day apart from the other holy days. This term Sabbath can also mean one of the holy days that was ordained and made by God, not mankind. Let's move on now to the next part of the phrase, solemn rest. Solemn rest. What does this phrase mean or represent, brother? This phrase only appears four times in the New King James Version. And three of those times are referring to the Day of Atonement. The fourth time we have already read in Leviticus 23, verse 3, where the holy days are listed. And this verse is written about the weekly Sabbath. Out of all the commentaries on this subject, only one said it like this, the Benson Commentary. The Day of Atonement begins at the evening of the ninth day and continued till the evening of the tenth day. This particular Sabbath is called your Sabbath. Possible to note the difference between this and other Sabbaths. For the weekly Sabbath is often called the Sabbath of the Lord. In Leviticus 23, verse 32, the word solemn is translated as sober, causing serious thought, marked or observed with religious rites, having a religious character. So on this day, are we to be more serious than any of the other holy days? Or are we to be celebrating the day now and looking forward to this day in the future when Satan the devil will be bound and put away? Well, brethren, that's a loaded and trick question, isn't it? When we know what we're supposed to be doing this day and what we're not supposed to be doing this day, and yet we still have human nature and the pulls and the influence of Satan the devil, especially when it comes to our need for food and water. Third point, number three. Atonement is a very, very special holy day because it has been partly fulfilled by Jesus Christ. Atonement is a very special holy day because it has been partly fulfilled by Jesus Christ. We know from observing Passover that the sacrifice of Jesus Christ and His shed blood atones for our past sins. The Day of Atonement pictures an additional step in God's master plan that is not found in the Passover service, brethren. This step must take place for all humanity can experience true peace on earth. Every human being has suffered from tragic consequences of sin. And since sin doesn't happen without a cause, Satan the devil, that is why God made all this so very clear in explaining the Day of Atonement and how we are to keep it. Let's turn to Hebrews 4, verse 5. Hebrews 4, verse 5, where we'll read what Jesus Christ did for us, brother. Hebrews 4, verse 5. For we do not have a high priest who cannot sympathize with our weaknesses, but was in all points tempted as we are, yet without sin. The Day of Atonement not only involves the forgiveness of sin, it's Hebrews 4, verse 15, not 5. Sorry about that. The Day of Atonement not only involves the forgiveness of sins, it also pictures the removal of cause of all sin. Satan and his demons, until God totally removes and locks up Satan, mankind can continue to fall back in their disobedience and major suffering. And even though human nature has a part to play in our sins, Satan the devil bears the greater responsibility. And it will be fully completed after Jesus Christ returns to this earth and Satan is bound and put away for 1,000 years. Brethren, we know about the two goats. I hope we do. I'm not going into detail about that. One that was sacrificed represents Jesus Christ. And the one that was released in the wilderness represents Satan the devil. I wonder if the people of the Old Testament felt a sense of relief when the goat was sacrificed for all their sins that year. Or did they ever think that somewhere out there in the wilderness, there's a free goat? The sacrifice made it possible for us to be reconciled with God and have the right to approach Him directly in prayer by spiritually entering into the holiest of all. That's found in Hebrews 9, verse 8 and 14. It is important to recognize that Jesus Christ is one of the keys to this day, as He is our high priest and did most of the work for us. Right now, today, the rest is up to us, each and every one of us. It's all about attitude and the faith to keep going each and every day, but especially today. When we are physically weak, brethren, we should be spiritually strong. We should make sure that when we fast, especially today, and any other time when we're fasting, in a repentant frame of mind. Let's turn and read what the prophet Daniel wrote about his attitude while fasting. Daniel 9. Daniel 9, verse 3 and 4. Daniel 9, verse 3 and 4. Once again from the Easy Read Version. Daniel 9, verse 3 and 4. Then I turned to the Lord God. I prayed to Him and asked Him for help. I did not eat any food. I put ashes on my head and put on the clothes that showed I was sad. I prayed to the Lord my God and told Him about all my sins. I said, Lord, You are great and an awesome God. You keep your agreement of love and kindness with people who love you. You keep your agreement with the people who obey your commandment. Well, brother, I don't know about you. This is a great example of the type of attitude that we should have today. We should be keeping this Day of Atonement because we want to fast and draw closer to God. This day should not be kept as a yearly family tradition. It is a very, very personal holy day. It strikes at the very center of our human nature. In Isaiah 1:1-18, the prophet Isaiah wrote, "The worshipers were sure to bring their animals to be sacrificed at the appointed times. But, brethren, their hearts were not repented at all. And God did not like or accept their offerings." Isaiah went on to tell them that if they didn't repent, God will allow them to fall as a nation and go into captivity. Did they listen, brethren? We know that history certainly repeats itself time after time. For the nations that don't obey God and try to remove Him from their lives, they pay the penalty, don't they? That's what this holy day is picturing, isn't it, brethren? It is telling us, Satan the devil does not have much time, and neither do we. Time is getting closer to the return of Jesus Christ to this earth and putting away Satan the devil. That's what this holy day pictures, brethren. Jesus Christ made an atonement for the sins of all mankind. And then when He returns to this earth, Satan will be bound and put away for 1,000 years. Our fourth point. It is a very special holy day because it is helping to prepare us for the Feast of Tabernacles, which pictures the great world tomorrow. A special holy day because it is helping to prepare us for the Feast of Tabernacles, which pictures the great world tomorrow. Let me read another paragraph from the Bible Hub. The year in which it was appointed shows that one purpose of its institute was to make solemn preparation for the joyous festival of Tabernacles, which was to follow in 5 days' time, when the people ought to be in a state of reconciliation with God. So, brethren, as we fast, we can look forward to the time when all human beings will have their minds opened on this day and be reconciled to God and the world tomorrow, which the Feast of Tabernacles represents and starts in 5 days. This is another reason why we're here today in the fasting mode and why we're putting sin out of our lives and becoming at one with God. It's interesting, though, the Day of Atonement comes just 5 days before the Feast of Tabernacles. It's like cleaning our palates before the main course, isn't it? This may just be another reason why we're fasting and cleansing our whole body today. Our great Creator knew that this is what we need to do before we go off and feast in joy and enjoy a foretaste of the coming kingdom of God. And we can be in that kingdom, brethren, if we resist the devil, humble ourselves at all times. It is a very important part of that picture, is keeping the annual holy days, especially the Day of Atonement. So as we observe and celebrate the rest of this solemn day, let us be sure that we are drawing closer to God. And remember that when Satan is trying to tempt us or draws off course, we must resist him. and humble ourselves before God. And that is how He is making us ready for the kingdom. Are you ready for the kingdom, brother? May God speed Jesus Christ's return and the establishment of that kingdom. We should be eagerly looking forward to the fulfillment of the Day of Atonement for us and for the entire creation. May that day come soon, brother.
May it come.
But now for the rest of this day, may we continue to have a holy day of solemn rest. Brother, at this time, we'll take up the offering. For special music, we'll be playing page 97 out of our songbook. Behold, the day will come. So at this time, the offering.